Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hi, I have a question for Rick regarding why the United States, in his opinion, is the number one incarcerator of its own citizens out of any country in the world.
Okay, thank you.
Academically, there are a lot of reasons for that. And when you open any college textbook today, or if you read about incarceration rates and why they're soaring in the United States, a lot of it will point to the drug war. And that's where it goes. And it goes there because the blame is properly placed there. You have, in 2005, for an example, there was 1.8 million total arrests for drug abuse violations just for marijuana, just for possession. What we're doing in correctional facilities and states across this country is we're going through these budget processes and we're waking up and saying, we have built a correctional system that we can't sustain. We can't afford it. California built 21 new prisons and one university in a five-year period, and they still can't incarcerate all of their people. Mm-hmm. The federal system, 60% of the federal system, is all for drug crimes. So the drug war is something that's getting an awful lot of attention with respect to why these explosive incarceration rates are happening.
Do you think we're winning that war?
We're not winning the war. We're not even close to winning.
It's kind of like Afghanistan, huh?
As most people in the community know, I've retired from the Army after 26 years. And, as a combat infantryman, you get an operations order, and what supports an operations order is a mission, or a mission statement, or an objective. And, the first interesting thing about the drug war is the title, that it's a war. And a war, sustained combat until victory. The United States doesn't understand retrograde. They don't understand surrender. They don't understand compromise. That's just not in our nature. So the first thing is the title. The second thing is, when you look at the mission of the drug war in the United States, it is to create a drug-free society.
Only certain drug-free society.
Well, right.
Except for tobacco and alcohol.
Well,
right.
I suppose that depends where you're from, who you are, and what you like.
Yeah.
And what class you're in. But that's well said, Paula, because, alcohol obviously takes more lives than all illegal drugs combined. Tobacco takes more lives than all combined as well. We can educate our society. We can, if we think about it. And if we have a shift in paradigm in our thought process about this, and we treat drug abuse as a healthcare issue and not a criminal issue, things begin to change immediately. If we put drug use, abuse, and addiction, I'd like to reemphasize that, drug use, abuse, and addiction on par with alcohol and treat it in the same ways, then we would significantly reduce the amount of money that the taxpayer has to pay for its incarceration rates. We have 1 in 88 people in New Hampshire in jail. There's a Pew study that came out in March. 1 in 13, I think, in Georgia, in the correctional system.
Wow.
We build 900 jail beds every 2 weeks in this country, and we've done that for the last 20 years. Now, if we're talking about the drug war here, think about, you have 34 million people out of 300 million who admitted to using an illegal substance in the last 12 months, and 114 million who admitted to using it some point in their lifetime. If your mission is to create a drug-free society and incarcerate through the crime control model everybody who uses, abuses, or is addicted, you get a lot more jail beds to build.
357-1290. We're talking this morning with Rick Van Wickler, who is the superintendent of the Cheshire County House of Corrections. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, Cynthia. It's Sam Dotson. Hey, I just want to...
A friend of yours.
a former client.
A reunion.
Client. I don't know if I would call myself a client, Richard.
Okay.
Hey, are you drug-free now?
I'm going to decline to answer that question. Hey, I just want to throw out there real quick before I jump in. MoCo is looking for somebody with a tiller to do some landscaping and stuff. So if anybody has one that they could let those folks use, please give MoCo a call. MoCo Arts, yes.
On, what's the name of that street?
Water Street, I think.
No, it's not. Railroad.
Railroad.
Yeah, right there by Railroad Square.
Okay, well, if anybody has a tiller, give MoCo Arts a call or in the book.
Okay.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about, you know, the healthcare thing, because, Richard, when I was in there, there was a guy who had cut his hand in the, somebody threw a knife into the pot and pan sink in the jail nursing home kitchen, and he cut it open. Now, I've had a cut on my hand that was nowhere near as bad as his, and I had four or five stitches. He was sent to the nurse with it pouring blood out, and the nurse had him just run it under the water, and then she bandaged it and sent him back into the holding area, and you know, it was still pouring blood out of his hand. No stitches when clearly they were needed. You're saying that they're guaranteed health care, and I don't think that's happening.
Well, my response to that would be that you and I disagree. The taxpayers of the county appropriate a certain amount of money to run a jail. They hire me to administrate the jail. I hire people who are experts in what they do, and I can tell you, having traveled and been into a lot of jails, I don't know how many jails you've been in, Sam, but I've been in quite
just a yours.
Few. Just mine, okay.
How's the rating?
And I'll tell you, and the reason why I say that, Sam, is because it qualifies and caters to a responsible answer. If you witnessed some of the healthcare atrocities that happen in jails across the country, you would understand where I'm coming from. But we have exceptional health care in our jail. And just like our community hospital, Dartmouth Hitchcock, which is a great hospital, Sam, I'm convinced that you can find somebody in our community today that received health care there that thought they didn't get what they thought they should have or what their parents should have or what their friends should have. Everybody has an opinion about whether or not they were treated adequately.
Right. I'm confident that... I don't doubt that it's worse in other places, and, you know, this may not be as bad here. But having seen, you know, an inch and a half gash that's a quarter inch wide on this guy's hand, not getting any stitches and mm-hmm. not even getting any antiseptic to clean out the wound when it was cut in a dirty pot and pan sink, I wouldn't call that adequate.
Did you witness it, or was this this person's reporting of what happened?
I talked to Evan, was the guy's name. He was in there for a drug.
No, but it was his accounting of what transpired.
It was his accounting, and I could see he has like a huge scar on the side of his hand where the knife was, you know, where it cut him open.
Oh, I'm not disputing that he got cut. Yeah.
If he had stitches, it wouldn't look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, what we have to do is provide adequate and responsible health care. What we are not is deliberately indifferent. We don't treat based on ability to pay. We don't make discretionary decisions. We have to do a triage as soon as things happen. We take what we consider to be reasonable, responsible care, and I think we do an exceptional job at that. And if the offender, not any eyewitness or friend or associate, but if the offender feels that they did not receive adequate treatment, then, of course, there's remedy for that.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Oops, we're out of time here for the first half hour. All right. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
I had a question for Richard about the new jail and how much time inmates are going to be allowed to spend outdoors, such as in a courtyard and getting exercise. I know that inmates previously were allowed to go out and work on the farm and get outdoors, get some fresh air out there. And I'm wondering how much time they're going to be getting outside in the new prison or in the new jail.
It's an excellent question, and we took that into consideration into the design. Out in Westmoreland, for people that aren't familiar with it, there's a very small recreation yard that has to be shared by all of the classifications within that tiny building. And because of all the things that we have to get done on a daily basis, the offenders are not allowed much time to get outside at all. And when they get outside, it's very brief, and that's weather permitting. So if the weather's not cooperating, sometimes it's canceled. When we designed the new jail, we wanted to make sure that several things were different about the new jail. First, we decentralized everything, meaning that inmates do not have to move from their area, from their assigned area to anywhere else. And the big benefit in that is it reduces operational costs. You don't need to hire...
Yeah, but more inmates aren't moving around there. You're making them stay in a limited space. I mean, do they get a chance to go outside and get some natural sunlight? I mean, study after study has shown that sunlight is a huge deterrent in preventing depression and preventing... I mean, when you get depression, you get inmate fighting and just general morale of what you call your clients. You admitted that a lot of them are in there for, well... medical disorders such as drugs and mentally ill is what's getting them in there, and not allowing them sunlight seems that you're just kind of going down that same old path of well, they're never really going to get better. You're not giving them the sunlight that they need. You're not giving them the ability to move around.
Well, let's hear what he has to say.
Thank you, Cynthia. I was going to apologize for my apparently long-winded answer to get to the point. So let me get right to the point. We have designed each living area with an outside recreation yard attached to it. The layout, the footprint of the jail is directly in line with the arc of the sun. Every day room has between 6 and 8 large skylights in the ceiling of the day rooms to allow a lot of natural light in. The windows have gone from 3 inches to probably almost 2 feet wide to allow for extra sunlight. So this jail is very bright. Now, to answer the caller's question, how much time do you get outside? And the answer is all you want. It's attached to the living area. The door will be open. You come and go as you please. So you can sit there in the sun and suck up all the fresh air that you'd like to, which you cannot do currently in Westmoreland. Sorry for the long answer.
Okay. Is it actual outdoors, or is it like a bubble?
It's not a bubble. It is an area that is designed onto the living area, and then there are three large areas that have overheads that we can open or close to keep snow out and rain out or let the fresh air in. And so it will have all the fresh air that you could want, and it is designed so that the sunlight will come in quite a bit so, and you have unlimited access to it.
Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, it's Ian from freekeen.com. How are you guys today?
Good morning, Ian.
How are you?
Doing well.
It's old home week.
Say again?
It's old home week here.
Oh.
Everybody's saying hi to Rick.
Well, yeah, I love it when I get to hear what Rick has to say, because he normally has some really intelligent things, because he's a well-researched guy, especially on the area of the war on drugs. And I was listening to last week's show with Ken Miola in the first hour, and you guys were talking about the, I guess there's been some muggings going on and some holdups, nasty stuff on bike paths and parking lots and things like that. And Miola admitted that this is something that is happening because people are addicted to drugs and they need to get the money to purchase those drugs. And I'm sure that Rick will agree here that what we're seeing is basically a complete retread of alcohol prohibition, where the prohibition drives products into the black market because products and services don't ever go away. They just, you know, become illegal, and then criminals take care of distributing them. So they're driven into the black market where criminals have to take significant risk in order to bring those products to their end users. So every single time a drug passes through a middleman's hands, that middleman is at risk of going to jail. So he's got to mark it up pretty significantly. And so after having passed through several hands, it finally gets to the end user. You've got a very, very expensive product on your hands. And you don't see people going and knocking over convenience stores and holding people up so they can buy a bottle of aspirin or a six-pack of beer or a pack of cigarettes, because those products are all legal. They're available in the marketplace. The producers that are making them can, you know, they can compete openly instead of compete in a gangland style. They can compete openly and advertise their products and their deals and all of that. And that results in products being very affordable, and not to mention the good quality as well that you get from having a legal process for people to sell these products. So I guess my question for Rick is, how many people right now at the Westmoreland Jail are in there for two categories? One, simple drug possession, where, you know, no one was harmed, or two, someone who committed some sort of crime, some sort of either violent act, robbery, or breaking and entering, something to, in order to feed a drug habit that they otherwise likely wouldn't have committed if they could, say, you know, purchase their whatever drug of choice it is at the local CVS.
Right.
What's the current numbers?
Thank you, because we need to. We're going to run out of time here before he gets it answered. Thank you.
The answer today, I don't know. The last time I looked at that statistic was 15%.
15% was...
Yeah,
15%
are nonviolent drug offenders who are incarcerated. And if Ian's question was, can you directly articulate whether or not the crime was because of the drug use, we can't do that.
Right.
I mean, there's no way to determine that any more than an alcohol user or abuser is in jail because of those issues.